Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, 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 what's going on, everybody? Clean Keys Real Talk. Yo, 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 what's going on, everybody? It's Clean Keys Real Talk. Don't mind the playback. There was still a few seconds there, so I was just waiting to make sure everybody could hear me. You know, I don't want to get off on the wrong foot or anything. It was a big day, so UFC 235 tonight. I've been waiting for this like it's Christmas. I've been waiting for this like it's Christmas. You know the feeling when it's Christmas Day. It is waiting like, you know, 10 days till Christmas, 5 days till Christmas, 2 days, 1 day. Like back when I was like 10 years old, man, waiting Christmas morning, seeing all the presents and everything like this. You know how excited I was for Christmas Day? This is almost more than that. This is almost more than that. I've been waiting for this day, and my boy's been waiting for this day, and we've been counting it down, man, just like Christmas. So this is crazy. It's got that Christmas Day feel today. I just can't wait. It's fight day. Lee, how excited are you from 1 to 9,000?
Oh, man, I'm ready, man. It's a stacked card. The prelims are even nice. You know, I'm ready, man. Hopefully everybody make it to the octagon. You know, I always say it's a three-step process. First step is people making weight. The second step is everybody waking up Saturday feeling healthy. Then the third step is everybody walking to the octagon, you know, for the fight. So, you know, I'm ready, man. Ready for some I hope there's a lot of excitement tonight, you know. I hope there's some finishes, some submissions, you know. I don't want the fights to be lackluster. You know what I mean? Because normally when you have a card this stacked, our expectations are so high, and that if we don't have like at least a couple of finishes, or let's say if every fight goes to the judges, a lot of people tend to look at that in a negative way. But sometimes that's a fighter strategy, you know, to fight a smart technical fight or whatever. So, but I'm ready, man. I'm ready. I'm actually getting the pay-per-view. I'm actually getting it at my house tonight because it's supposed to start snowing here around 6, 7 o'clock. So I'd rather be in the comfort of my own home than driving out around trying to find somewhere. And then, you know, I'm just going to be home. I'm getting it, man, and I'm glad the prelims are on ESPN. Thank you, ESPN. And I'm ready, bro.
Yeah, it's, you know, that's the thing. You make a good point. With a lot of the cards, when it's so stacked, sometimes the card ends up kind of going the opposite way just because it's too stacked. And that's a big thing, you know. I just hope that doesn't happen. I'm trying to be optimistic here. You know, that's definitely a possibility because we've seen that happen numerous times in the past. So it ends up being, you know, just you're almost too excited for something, and then when you get too excited for it, it ends up, you know, not leading up to your expectations. I mean, I know this isn't MMA, but for example, you know, how exciting is the Super Bowl, you know, to the NFL? You know, people treat the Super Bowl like Christmas. As I said, I thought this card reminds me of Christmas Day. That's how excited I am. And, you know, imagine NFL fans who couldn't wait for the Super Bowl, and then, you know, imagine them watching this past Super Bowl, you know what I mean? That was probably, like, bottom three most boring Super Bowls in NFL history. So, I don't know. I mean, I haven't seen all the Super Bowls, but that one's got to be up there with one of the most boring Super Bowls. That's the most boring Super Bowl I've ever seen, you know, since I've been alive. So, in 22 years of life, that's definitely...
To me, the Super Bowl wasn't boring. I mean, I think everybody has got into this thing about offense, but that Super Bowl was a defensive struggle. And to me, I actually kind of liked it. I think it was boring as far as if you was a Rams fan, because the Rams made no adjustments to what the Patriots was doing to them, and they were just totally outcoached. But as far as, like, the Rams defense, man, they played a hell of a game against Tom Brady. But, you know, I get what you're saying. You know, if defense ain't what you like, then, you know, it was a boring Super Bowl. But if you really like a defensive game, you know, then maybe that was for you. I thought I liked it because it was a defensive struggle. Because I didn't want to see 48-43 or 48-45. You know, I thought it would be like 21-17 somewhere in there. But yeah, but tonight, man, I think tonight has all the makings of fireworks. I mean, you got a bunch of guys that's known for finishing. You got Tisha Torres fighting tonight. You know, she's been on a blaze here lately, and she definitely looked good yesterday on the scales. You know, if I had to say so myself. You know, you got Woodley saying that, you know, Usman can't run from him now. Ain't gonna be no talking, no trash once they lock the octagon. Once they lock the octagon door. So, then, you know, my man, I got a lot of respect for my man, Anthony Smith, man. You know, the results of John's test came back, and of course, he still got the picograms in him. And, you know, they said that would be regular. And, you know, Anthony Smith was a stand-up guy. You know, he was like, you know, I don't think John is a dirty fighter. You know, this was to be expected. I'm ready. I'm going to go out there and give it my best. And he said he's going to finish John Jones. And, you know, you wrote an article this week saying that Anthony Smith is going to win. I don't think so. But, you know, we'll see what happens tonight. And if he does win, it'll probably be one of the biggest upsets in UFC history.
Yeah, I'm surprised you even gave him that much credit. So I'm happy. Even acknowledge that any of that is even surprising from you, so that's cool.
I mean, you have to acknowledge it, man, because the guy's a stand-up guy. You know, whether or not he should be fighting for the belt, that could be debatable. You know, but the lightweight division, the light heavyweight division, is really kind of lackluster right now. But you got a couple guys that's on the rise. You know, we got Santos, we got Anthony Smith, Johnny Walker is fighting Murkanov tonight, which should be another good test for Johnny Walker. Then you got Dominique Reyes fighting in a couple weeks. So I think John has pumped some life into the light heavyweight division turn, but, you know,
there's still
we'll
not a lot
see.
Of contenders, though.
Yeah. And that's
really
just the thing with the light heavyweight division. There are a lot of contenders, just like in the heavyweight division. You know, there's only a couple guys in the heavyweight division. So, but you know, I think John being back has definitely brought some more life into the division, especially if he fights at this pace right now. He could fight four times this year, and I think if he does fight four times this year, that could be good and could be bad, because if he fights four times, that means that probably he'd probably be the champ, and that means he's probably running through these guys, and that might not be good for the division. So we'll see what happens.
And if he fights four times, he's pretty much not taking any time off for the entire year. He's, with that at that rate, you know, having four fight camps out of a year that you're already, you know, depending on when you're starting your camp. I mean, if you haven't, let's just say you didn't camp 2 months, that's already 8 months out of a 12-month year. So it's like he's not – like that's pretty much no stop. I'm okay if that's what he wants to do. It's just that's definitely going to be a busy schedule. I mean, I think there are enough like with the way the division is, I think there's, you know, definitely enough contenders in the spot right now for him to do four fights this year. You know, I do think, you know, you have a Volkan Ozdemir fight. He's fighting Reyes. So I do think if Reyes wins that fight, I do think he's going to be in the talks after that, even though, you know, he's probably only like 3-4-0 in the division. But, like, it's still the same thing. You don't have any good guys. So when – you know, guys win a couple fights, they're already in the title talk because there's nobody else there. So you need to have somebody there. You know, the big problem UFC has is just having It's just having champions not defending their belts against contenders. So they need to try to start getting that tradition going again with at least one division. I mean, everybody now just wants to move to another division once they get a belt. So to see John defend three or four times this year would definitely be a breath of fresh air. I think Alex Reyes probably going to beat Volkan. And then, or really either one of those guys wins that fight, they're going to be back in the title picture. So that's a contender right there. And then you have Johnny Walker, I think, is going to win tonight. So I think after tonight, Johnny Walker is going to be another step closer to the title talk. John Jones actually just acknowledged him in an interview. Like, I watched it yesterday, and he mentioned Johnny Walker was the first name that he actually mentioned when he was talking about, like, guys to fight at 205. He didn't say, I want to fight him, but he did. That was the first name to come out of his mouth. So when he was talking contenders, so
but Walker's like number 14, though.
Yeah, but still, it's like when he beats Serkinov tonight, which I think he's going to. He's going to move up a couple spots and then see like maybe one or two more fights. You know, with the way they move guys, I could see one or two more fights for him, and then that's a title shot for him. I mean, Adesanya's 5-0 at middleweight, and he's in an interim title fight right now. You know, so if Johnny Walker goes 3-0 lightweight tonight, you know, I don't see why he couldn't have two more fights after that and then be in a title fight himself. You know, it's not like the old days where you had to fight everybody to get to the title. Nowadays, you just got to fight a couple guys and win a couple fights in dominating fashion. You know, have a couple highlight reels. I mean, look at Ngannou had a title shot just off of getting that highlight reel uppercut knockout versus Alistair Overeem. Like, that was really all he did. I mean, who else besides that he really fought? I mean, he fought Arlovski, who was a former champ, but Arlovski's washed, though. Like, beating Arlovski really, I don't really put much stock into that, you know, in 2019 beating Arlovski.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So, Ngannou really didn't.
Yeah, Arlovski
really
has been, he has fought, what, Pride, WEC, USC, and yeah, I'm with you, man. He done been around the block a couple times, so I really don't put too much stock in Arlovski.
Yeah, so I mean,
but
it's just the same case though. It's like these guys don't really beat that many guys before they get to the title. I'm just saying that I think you could easily see, I could definitely imagine, and I'm not saying it makes sense for business wise, but I could imagine if you had to say three contenders after Smith, I would see a Santos fight, a Johnny Walker fight, and Alex Reyes fight. You know, I could definitely see that three contenders right there for 2019. If you asked me who I would see being in that spot, so I could definitely see a Santos fight, an Alex Reyes fight, and a Johnny Walker fight. You know, in the cards for John Jones in 2019, if you had asked me three contenders. And then, you know, I'm sure there's some other guys too who I'm not thinking of. There was actually a guy who was a light heavyweight. He fought on the 234 card, and he fought, I think, Sam Alvey. I think the guy who fought Sam Alvey, I don't know his name off the top of my head, but I think that's light heavyweight too, I want to say. So that guy looked pretty good, and he's going to be coming up, so we'll see what he's doing. I can't remember his name. Yeah, I don't know. He's the guy that fought Sam Alvey, though. He had that controversial stuff.
Yeah, I'm actually looking it up now.
I think that's
but I'm up here. I'm thinking, I'm thinking that, you know, one of the things that came, that they had a press conference yesterday was for the Max Holloway Dustin Poirier fight, man. And, man, Keys, man, I'm so hurt right now, man. And I know I shouldn't be, but I am. Because my man Frankie Edgar is getting screwed over again, dog. I wish Max just would have fought Frankie and then went up to 155. Because you already know what they're going to do. They're going to have Jose Aldo probably fight Volkanovski or Brian Ortega for the interim belt, right? And let's just say if Aldo wins, they're not going to do an Aldo versus Frankie 3. Even though I think Frankie won either, I can't remember which fight it was, either the first one or the second one. Me and this guy was debating it last night on Twitter. And I just think he gets screwed over, man. I think he gets screwed over once again, man. And Oh, man, I just wish Max would have just fought Frankie, man, and then moved up to 155. But I understand it. You know, business is business. You know, he always said that he would eventually have to move up to 155. It's just that Tony Ferguson actually messed all this up because he would have accepted a fight against Poirier for the interim belt. Then I think Max would have probably fought Frankie on the same card. And then, you know, he probably may have went up after that. So, but, man, I just feel so bad for Frankie, man, that he's going to be left out in the dirt again, left out in the dust again. The only way he doesn't is if Ortega or Volkanovski beats Aldo and then they fight Frankie. So, but, you know, the Frankie fan, man, you just got to keep your head up, Frankie, man. Your time will come, bro.
I forget what I was going to say. You had something that I wanted to counter off of, but I don't remember what it was.
But the guy named
Jim
Crew, the one that fought Sam Alvey.
Oh, yeah, Jimmy Crew, yeah. Is that light heavyweight?
Yeah, so you got Jimmy Crew, too. That guy looked pretty good. I mean, it's not like Sam Alvey's like this, you know, big-time contender or anything, but, I mean, he still had a He still looks good in there, so, I mean, I still think he has potential. We'll see. You know, there's definitely guys coming up. That's just the point I'm trying to make. You know, he's got – John's got, like, you know, at least three solid contenders. I feel like if he wanted to fight three more times this year, and then there's other guys, too, that I'm sure for 2020 will be, you know, up in the top 10, top five, you know, like Jimmy Crute, I think will make his way there. So there'll be guys, you know, for the top of next year as well. And I said that, you know, a couple shows ago, I said that about how I felt like, you know, if the UFC, like the good thing about it is that John Jones, like having a guy come in that wants to actually fight contenders is the best thing because none of your divisions are really doing that right now. Like guys are doing one title defense and then moving up or getting the belt and then moving up automatically. Like you really don't see longevity with a guy in one division. You know, in the UFC lately, like who besides Stipe, Amanda Nunes has defended a lot. You know, Amanda Nunes and Stipe are the only ones like in the past like, year that have like defended one of their belts multiple times. I can't think of anybody else who's defended the belt multiple times. But John Jones is trying to revive that, so I like that. You know, I think the UFC needs that a guy, especially someone like that who pulls in pay per view buys. And he wants to fight consistently. I don't even know why this card's going under the radar. I read an article yesterday saying this card's still falling under the radar, and I don't understand why. Because this is a huge card. Like you have Ben Askren. I've been talking about him for years. Now he's finally in the UFC. He's debuting against Robbie Lawler. Man, what kind of psychopath debuts in the UFC against Robbie Lawler? Like that's really crazy shit, man. I don't understand. We have a caller on the line right now. I'm gonna jump him into the call. And see if he has something to say about this. Let's see what they. Yo, who we got on the line?
Hey, what's going on, guys? This Nixon_speaks from Twitter. Just saw you guys tweeting. Saw you guys were going live. Figured to give you guys a call.
What's your ad on Twitter?
Nixon_speaks. I just saw you guys on Twitter. Figured I'd give you guys a call before the fight start up.
You gonna be watching the event tonight?
Yeah, I'm going to be watching the event. I guess so I'm not taking up too much of you guys' time. I did hear what you guys said a little bit ago before you guys switched to me. In my opinion, the reason why I think this card could be going slightly under the radar is because, one, UFC fans or just MMA fans in general, I feel like they're a little bit battered just with the matchmaking flight of hand that's been going on pretty much since the WME era took over. I think there's that mixed with John Jones and his pentagram woes and USADA woes, mixed in with Colby Covington and the fact that people feel as though he should be the guy getting the shot, but he's not. And then he takes it a step further and shows up and just poo-poos basically the entire co-main event. Robbie Lawler, we know, is not going to talk. Ben Askren is a relatively unknown commodity at this point. I mean, look at, you know, Garbrandt, Pedro Munhoz. I just feel like you combine all of that together, and that's the reason why some people are a little bit slow on it, in my opinion.
You make a lot of good points. I really don't know. I don't know even how to follow up to counter that. You had a lot of good points. You know, I didn't consider all those things.
Yeah, it's just I think it's just a little bit of the problem. So I think it's like there's all these little things adding up, and then you know you look on paper, and the second the John Jones Anthony Smith fight gets booked, people are like, why is he fighting him? Even though, to your point, which you just said about 10 minutes ago, he is one of the only champions nowadays that's staying active. So you would think people would appreciate it. Yet the fight gets booked, people poo-poo it. Same thing with the co-main event. And it's like, you know, you do that, and then the last time we saw John Jones on the scene, he had to move a whole card to Las Vegas a couple days before. I just think you can believe all of that, and that's a little bit of a cause for pause if you're a casual fan.
Yeah, I can see that. A lot of people were upset about that. A lot of the fighters
had to relocate,
and a lot of people couldn't.
I did have one question, though, because it seemed like you guys were like slightly alluding to it. So I'm just going to change it a little bit different. If you guys had to take a stab at pay-per-view buys, what do you think this, like, ballpark answer, what do you guys think this thing does?
What was the question again?
Just if you guys had, like, a broad estimation of what you think on pay-per-view what this thing is going to do, just given the fact that, you know, John Jones, what you said, John Jones is a draw, but at the same time, there's all these little things going around. So I just, you know, do you guys have an estimation of what you think this thing could do on pay-per-view? Since, you know, UFC was just in the news this week, now they're getting a bigger slice of the pay-per-view revenue on the back end. So now, you know, just little stuff like that going on, PFL signing with UFC, and I'm just wondering what the pulse is on this card.
I think I'm gonna give you my quick answer.
I think it'll do between 500,000 pay-per-view buys. That's my estimate.
I was just about to say 500,000 too. I think it does about 500,000. I think especially with the prelims being on big ESPN, I think that definitely does something as far as the pay-per-view. Because I know for me personally, if the prelims are on ESPN Plus, I'd be pissed about that because I can't go to a bar and watch the prelims, you know. Basically, I have to watch the prelims on my phone and then get ready for the pay-per-view. But seriously, though, because
it sucks.
I think the only place probably to have ESPN Plus is maybe Buffalo Wild Wings, maybe, because I know Hooters doesn't, and Hooters is an official place for the UFC. So I think with the prelims being on ESPN, that's definitely a plus. I think it'll probably be about 500,000 pay-per-view buys. I think this card is stacked, but I think the casual fan isn't in love with this card because basically there is no quote-unquote super fight on the card. And, you know, super fights kind of sort of move the needle nowadays in the UFC. And, you know, for us, the real fans, this card is dope, man. I mean, you got Woodley fighting number one contender. You got John fighting number one contender. You got Tisha Torres a young lady. You know, and Tisha's been on a little tear here lately. I think if she wins this fight, she gets a title shot. Then you got Johnny Walker taking a fight on short notice on the fight circuit off. And then you got Zabit versus Stevens. You got Stryker versus Grappler. That's a good fight. And then you got Diego Sanchez, who I think should retire. You got him fighting Mickey Gall, which could be a good fight, too. I mean, you just got a lot of good fights on the card.
Gabo Garbrandt, too.
Yeah, you got Cody. I forgot about Cody. Yeah, Cody up there also.
Yeah, not to mention they got Pollyanna of Vienna. And I know she's, like, somewhat of a smaller name, but, like, 2 weeks ago she was all over the news for apparently she beat up some guy that tried to rob her in Brazil. And it's like, to your point, what you just said, she did that. And to your point, they're putting her on the prelims, the ESPN Plus prelims.
That was the
she's on, like, the early prelims. I thought Pollyanna should have been on the regular prelims. I thought the I don't have the card. Let me see. I do have the card up. I thought she should have been actually on the regular prelims. But you never know what goes into the UFC thinking when they do this. Sometimes they already have the card, just like the Johnny Walker fight. I think if he would have took the fight, let's say if he was originally scheduled to fight Misha, I think that would have been on the regular on the regular card. But being that he took it on short notice, they left it on the prelim. So, you know, it is what it is. At least we get good fights. Hopefully, good fights.
Yeah, because you look at that ESPN portion of the card from the Jeremy Stephens and the beat fight on down. That feels like an ESPN Plus card in its own right.
Yeah, because I would actually put the Pollyanna fight probably in place of the Cody Stamann fight and the Alejandro Perez, because basically I don't know those guys. I mean, they got look like 17-2 versus 21-6, but I would have just put her. I would have had her on that prelim fight instead of the early prelims, just because. You know, it would have brought maybe a little bit some more eyes to it because of what she did. So, I mean, that's just me. That's just the business part of me thinking I would have put that on the prelim card.
Yeah, it definitely makes sense. But all right, I'm not going to eat up show time anymore. Thanks for taking the call, guys.
No,
really
but
it.
Hey,
quick question for you, bro.
Let's get your fight pick. Let's get your fight pick.
What I was just about to ask you. Who you got tonight?
I guess main card picks. If I'll just go with our main card picks. So
yeah, main card.
Okay. So I'll just go with the main card. Cody Garbrandt, Pedro Munhoz. I've got Cody via TKO second round. Tisha Torres, he's taking on Weili Zhang. I've got Weili Zhang via decision. Ben Askren, Robbie Lawler. I've got Ben Askren decision. Tyron Woodley and Usman, if you want to ask me which one don't you feel confident about, it would be that one, but I'm currently leaning Woodley via TKO. And John Jones and Anthony Smith, I got to go John Jones. I don't know how he gets it done, but I just feel like we've got to finish in either the second or third round via John Jones.
Yeah, because once you get to the championship rounds, he becomes a different fighter, and you could tell he has a sense of urgency in the championship rounds, and I don't know whether or not Anthony Smith has actually fought past the third round. So, yeah, man, I appreciate the call, man. And I know my man Keys didn't like you picking Wally Lang over Tisha Torres because he's been shooting a shot at Tisha Torres here lately.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
Man, that's what we got.
Well, all right, man. Thanks for calling in and keep following us on Twitter, bro.
No problem. Yeah, enjoy the show, guys. Thank you guys for taking the call.
At Tisha Torres, homie, bro. Tyler, come on, Lee and Keys, real talk.
Got you.
Word, bro. Appreciate your call.
All right, Keys.
Damn, bro. No, actually, the thing is that me and a friend of mine, we're actually watching the fights together tonight, and we do little prop bets on each fight. So we'll put like a couple bucks on each fight, and then we'll run up the whole card. So we might put like $5 on each fight, and then, you know, tonight, for example, we pick the top 7 fights on the card, and we're putting couple bucks on each fight. So, you know, usually end up evening out because usually one of us might end up only walking away with, you know, like $5 or sometimes it even evens out when we end up paying each other back because if you know, 3 guys win and then 3 of your guys win, you end up, you know, breaking even and no one makes any money, which is kind of, I guess, the fun of it too is that, you know, you don't really lose money. It kind of just goes up and down because, you know, the fights are so unpredictable. But so I told him, you know, let's do to make it fair, because, like, I know a good amount more about the UFC than he does, and he kind of, you know, I've been beating him, and, you know, he's had to buy our beers a lot lately because,
you know, I've been winning the bets and everything, and he ends up paying the tab and buying our beers. But that reason, he kind of, you know, hints that it's because, like, I watch fights more and I know these guys, so I know who to pick more than he does. But I end up saying, like, with that, you should have did your research, though. Shouldn't bet without doing your research. You got to at least, like, you know what a guy does or brings to the table, or at least watch his last fight or some type of footage, you know. But, you know, the point is that I told him, let's both, like, pick, you know, to make it fair, let's both pick for the main card at least two underdogs, and then, you know, we'll decide, you know, we'll work it out with the last fight, you know, with the odd man out. You know, one of us will have to get, you know, three underdogs or three favorites. And I end up having to pick. He ended up actually picking Tisha Torres, so I actually have my bet on the. I had to pick the other girl because I had to get because I had to pick my underdog. But he picked first, so then he picked Torres. So then I end up having to take Wiley Zhang for because she was a favorite. So I needed, you know, two favorites or whatever. So I had to pick. That was all that was left. So I actually have. Sadly, my bet is against Torres, but even though I want her to win, though, I actually hope I lose that bet. I'm faithful that I lose that bet. You know, I'm devastated seeing my girl lose, man. I can't take it. I mean, her last fight, she lost to Joanna, so I don't really, you know, of course, that it's a big fight, but losing to Joanna is not really saying that much because Joanna's, like, an all-time great in the sport, so... I really don't mind seeing her.
She had a bad game plan, though.
Yeah, it was a bad
game plan. Oh, my God, the game plan was terrible. It was like she tried to take her down and hold her, and it was like she just didn't know when to give up on the takedowns, and then she was getting tattooed, you know, and I was like, yo, what is this game plan? I mean, it was like, yo. I mean, and you know, she had been impressive up to that Joanna fight. But, man, I think we had talked about it. We was like, what was the game plan? So hopefully she'll come back today and, you know, look a little better. You know, I actually like her to win today. I think she'll actually go back to the Tisha Torres prior to the Joanna fight. So, I think if she won this fight, I think she's due to get a title fight with the winner of the Rose Namajunas and Andrade fight. So, but, man, hey, so what's the fight that you are definitely – well, I know I shouldn't ask this because I already know. I think I know the answer to this. But what is the fight that you got to see on this card that you would not go to the bathroom for, that you will be glued to your seat for?
Well, honestly, I wouldn't go to the bathroom really for any of these fights. Like, I got to try and get the bathroom breaks in. I mean, I know it's kind of hard sometimes. Like, if I'm drinking, it's kind of hard to schedule, you know what I mean, to go to the bathroom at certain times. Sometimes you got to do what you got to do. But, I mean, really, I don't want to miss, like, any minute of anything, you know, starting with I definitely can't miss the Johnny Walker fight. No, I could definitely say that. I'm definitely not trying to miss the Johnny Walker fight. That one, if I miss that, I would just be disgusted. I actually actually rearranged my plans a little bit because based on not missing his fight, you know, I had my friend, we're trying to figure out getting rides and stuff like this because we're going to be drinking a lot, so we're just going to take Uber. And we're just trying to situate what time, you know, to go from A to B. To make sure we can get there because, you know, Hooters out my way. I bet it'll be a packed house in Hooters tonight. You know, a John Jones card at Hooters is going to be a packed house. So, you know, I'm just trying to get from A to B and get there, you know, not too late to where we don't get a seat and then we're not at the waiting line. And also not too early to where it's like, all right, I'm sitting here for like 6-7 hours, like watching fights. Like, I don't need to see. You know what I'm saying, the early prelims or, like, the first couple on the regular prelims. But I want to start watching what the co-main event of the prelims with the Johnny Walker fight and then watch the beaten Stevens, and then I'll go from there. That's pretty much where I'm planning to start watching. I mean, we're going to watch the Diego Sanchez and the Stamen fight. You know, we're going to watch those two. at a different place, but I mean, I'm just not too worried. Like, I could easily get my bathroom breaks in early during those two fights, and then once Johnny Walker comes on, and then there forward, I'm really not trying to miss anything.
Yeah,
but I mean,
I think
of course, John Jones and Anthony Smith, like, that one's gonna have my heart pumping out my chest. Like, obviously, that one, I'm never mind going to the bathroom. I'm not gonna be able to move. Period. I think I'm gonna be in a frozen state.
Yeah, because I know for me, man, I think I'm not gonna pick a fight off the main card. I think for me, the fight that I definitely won't take a bathroom break on is probably Jeremy Stephens and Zabit.
I think that fight
is so intriguing, man. I think that fight has the makings to be a super technical fight, but not boring, because you got Jeremy with the heavy hands, and you got Zabit with a ground game that's probably top five in the UFC right now. So that's the one I probably want to tell you. I'll be glued to my TV. Normally when I watch the fights, I normally watch the fights downstairs in my basement. Tonight I will be upstairs in my living room on my 70-inch new TV, and I'll be watching it upstairs tonight. I will not be in the basement tonight. You can best believe that, buddy. So I'm looking forward to the beat, man. So what fight think could be a sneaky fight of the night fight that most people probably ain't thinking that? Well, I think all these fights are on people's radars. So what do you think is the sneaky fight of the night?
You know, I think I think Garbrandt and Munhoz could definitely be
Munhoz.
Yeah, Munhoz could definitely be a bit more competitive, and that one would be one that I think people might say, like, you know, Garbrandt's going to go in there and knock him out in the first round. You know what I mean? Like, he does that, but, you know, I think it might be a few rounds, and that might really be a more of a competitive fight. So I think that would be, you know, I do think Garbrandt gets the win in the end. I have him in my, you know, luckily I have him, you know, I win money on him if that goes that way, but I do think it'll be a couple rounds worth. I could see, you know, I'd say probably at least three rounds worth for that fight, because Munhoz isn't a pushover, you know what I mean? Like, he's not just the guy to throw in there to, you know, go get knocked out, you know what I mean? I think that guy's going to last a little bit, and that one will be a fight that people are expecting less of, but it'll actually be better. And then, you know, that, and then also, too, I think that yeah, I agree with you on the Zabit and Stevens too. I think that fight will last a while. That one, I think that one will probably go the distance. You know, if I don't see, because Zabit, you know, his last couple times, I feel like I watched him Zabit, you know, go to decision, and Stevens, you know, gets a finish sometimes, but it really depends. I mean, when you have a guy who's, you know, has the wrestling to hold him down and put pressure on him, Stevens, you know, hasn't looked great in the past in those kinds of fights. I mean, I could think back to when he fought Frankie a couple years ago, and Frankie just basically dominated him the entire fight from start to finish because Frankie had the wrestling, you know, and Stevens was, you know, hoping for a stand-up fight with Frankie, and that wasn't, you know, that wasn't the way it ended up going, so. I mean, but at the same time, I do think that he'll last in there a while, especially with a lot of the stuff that, you know, he's been saying leading up to it about how, you know, after he lost to Aldo, you know, Steven said that he thought about suicide. And that really hit me, you know. I really took that really slowed my thinking down when he said that. I really, that was a big pause for me, you know, and when I read that.
I didn't like the fact that he told people that.
Yeah. He probably didn't need to tell people that, but, I mean, it's already out there now. And, I mean, if that's how he felt and he had to do a lot of reflecting after the fight, you know, maybe he felt like his career was over, I mean, or something like this. And, you know, the guy's got a lot of losses, you know, and maybe he just felt like, you know, he was getting to a peak and he got knocked out. And maybe, you know, he probably didn't need to share all the information, but, know, I do think he'll go into this with a different kind of motivation against a guy who's a really game opponent. And to beat Gamzat Shapov, you know, he knows what's in front of him, I would think. And, yeah, I think that fight will be, you know, it's the prelim main event. I think they did a good job putting it in the main event. I think it's there for a reason. And I think they know something. You know, it's that one's definitely going to be better than I think people expect. It's going to be exciting.
Yeah, and I think my sneaky fight of the night is actually on the main card. I think this Robbie Lawler Ben Askren fight could be a barn burner. I think Ben Askren is going to come in, and I think he's going to try to do something that he doesn't normally do. And I think he's going to try to come in and stand and bang with Robbie Lawler, man. I don't think he's going to come in and try to wrestle him, you know, because, you know, there's this preconceived notion that he's a boring fighter. I think he's going to lay caution to the wind, and he's going to come in and try to stand and bang with Robbie Lawler, which I think is going to be a mistake. I think by the time the middle of the second round rolls around, he'll be back to trying to wrestle Robbie. Third round, they'll come out, fist ablaze, you know. And I, for some strange reason, I think this fight will be more exciting than what we think is going to happen. Because everybody thinks he's going to manhunt Robbie Lawler for three rounds. And, you know, it's going to be boring. But there's something that you think Ashland is going to flip the script and come out and try to stay in the bang, man. I don't know why I think that, why I feel that way. But I just feel like he's going to try to do something to ingratiate himself for the UFC fans. Whether that be smart or be dumb, we'll see how it works out.
Yeah, I think that's dangerous territory, man. I mean, I don't know whether or not it's Yeah, I don't know whether or not it's going to happen. From what I know, I don't think Askren hits that hard. So, I mean, I don't even know if he could even hurt Robbie on the feet. Like, I don't even know if he believes that he could hurt him. Like, Lawler's a tough dude. I mean, he stood there and got pounded on by your boy Dos Nacho, and he couldn't even finish him. So, I mean, that – and actually, speaking of –
what
a torn ACL. That's the last time Dos Anjos even had a win, but that's neither here nor there. We'll get back to that in another show. Anyways, Lawler can take a lot of shots, okay? And Askren, I don't think, can even hurt him. So if he were to go that way, stand and bang with him, you know, maybe it happens. You know, I don't think he should do that. I kind of hope he doesn't do that because, you know, even though I do like to see guys switch it up and try different things, I mean, we just saw Chris Weidman and Jacare have a striking match, you know, and both guys have a fierce ground game. You know, we just saw that happen, you know, a couple months back, you know, in New York. We just saw that. So, I mean, it's not like guys don't switch it up and do things you don't expect them to do, you know, because both guys can respect each other's ground game enough to want to stand and bang and not even take it there. You know, and do something that, you know, both of them know they're more vulnerable at, you know. So, I mean, it's not like it's impossible for that to happen. You know, Askren might come in there and do it. We'll see. You know, I think if he does do it, he's definitely putting himself in a lot of danger because Robbie Lawler is still a very dangerous fighter to this day, you know, in 2019, regardless of, you know, the past, you know, he's 1-2 in his last three, I'm pretty sure. So, regardless of, I mean, he's lost to top guys, you know. It's not like, you know, it's not like he's lost to, you know, any tomato cans or anything like that. You know, Lawler's a top, you know, top fighter in the world still, I believe. And I think he would knock Askren's head off if it goes that way. So, but, you know, there's the injury too. So that's still the what did you say? What was it? Because Lawler was hurt in the Dos Anjos fight.
Well, yeah, he tore his ACL in the RDA fight. Because remember the third round, he just put his back against the cage, and he told RDA, "Come on, let's go," because he couldn't move. So he basically put his back against the cage the whole third round, and he was just slugging it out with RDA. So you know. Hey, like I said, that dude got heart, man. But you know,
that's what I'm saying. I don't think he's scared of a punch and then asking it. That guy just goes out and looks for blood. Dude, I don't give a damn about nobody's punches, dude. He's a beast.
Yeah, so.
He's scared to take a hit.
But,
it's going to be hot.
But look, man, I know normally when we do our predictions, we normally start with the main card. We normally do the main card. But we gotta start with the Johnny Walker Misha Cirkunov fight. What you think about that? Who you going with or not? Well, I know who you going with.
Oh yeah, definitely taking Johnny Walker. I don't really I don't know if I've even watched a Cirkunov fight before. To be honest, I know of his fights, but I don't think I've ever actually seen him fight. If I have, I probably just. I mean, I've watched a lot of fights. Like, it's hard to know sometimes if I've seen guys fight. I just can't remember his style off the top of my head. Like, I don't really know what he does, you know? So it's, but yeah, I do think just based off the last couple of things I've seen from Walker, I think it's a mental thing too with him at this point. The way he guys go in there versus him, I just feel like, I don't know, it's very deceiving. The way he comes in and he's playing this, you know, friendly look to him, like he just looks like he comes in with just like this, it's like a really positive energy, but then he just destroys people. Like I can't even put it in another way than that. I can't even like make that sound more technical. Like that's basically exactly what he does. He comes in and he looks like this goofball like fighter, you know what I mean? He's coming down, he's doing like stripper moves, you know what I'm saying? He's dancing, you know, while his corner is getting him ready to enter the octagon and all this, and he's just having a good time. He doesn't look like somebody who's getting ready for a fight, you know what I mean? He goes in there with just this, I feel like he just has this super relaxed attitude, and he just like takes, it's similar to what Anthony Smith does, but only Anthony Smith doesn't have that face, you know, going in. Anthony Smith looks a lot more, I feel like Smith is a lot more focused. I think Walker just goes in there relaxed and just doesn't care. He just – he's not sloppy, though. You know what I mean? I mean, at the same time, I haven't seen guys really get that close to him yet. You know, I've only seen his last two fights. I haven't seen guys really had a chance to do anything with him. So we'll see what he does with a step up in competition and Misha Cirkunov. But, you know, I haven't seen enough of Cirkunov to really say – that he can't beat Walker. I'm not saying he can't win. It is a toss-up, but just based off of what I've seen in Walker, I don't think that this guy's going to go in there and lose. You know, I can't picture it. You know, his relaxed nature going to the cage, he doesn't put a lot, it doesn't seem like he puts, you know, a lot of pressure on himself. And he just goes in there and does his thing, and it's been working for him in his last two fights, so you know I'll be taking Walker in that one by stoppage.
Being a Walker coming off a quick turnaround, you know, being he just fought, and you know he just kind of short notice for him. I'm gonna roll with him by decision. I think Cirkunov, you know, I think he'll probably fight a patient fight. A smart fight. You know, he will try to wrestle Johnny a little bit more than people have tried to in the past. So I'm going to still take Walker, but I'm going to take it by unanimous, by decision. I think it'll be a little tougher fight than people think. I wouldn't be surprised if Walker finished him. But I think Misha is a tough guy. So I think he's going to get Walker a fight. But I'm taking Walker by decision. And then we got Jeremy Stephens versus The Beat. Who you got?
Jeremy Stephens is The Beat. Oh, my God. That one's going to be crazy. You know, I love watching Jeremy Stephens fight. You know, I think he's a savage beast in that. And I, you know, his fight with Josh Emmett that we just saw, pretty sure that was Steve. No, wait, no. Yeah, he fought Aldo. But before that, he fought Josh Emmett. The last time we saw him win was his fight before that. So he lost to Aldo. But Aldo's all-time great. I really don't put – it's similar to my girl Torres losing to Joanna. I really don't put too much stock into it. Well, I mean, I don't put too much hurt on guys for losing all time greats. So you could lose to Aldo. That really don't do much. You know, I don't really mind it. You know, Aldo is an incredible talent. So that is what it is. But you know, he lost to Aldo, but you know, versus Josh Emmett, we saw a very impressive performance. And you know, I think if you know he can go in there and fight his fight, I think he could have success early in the fight. I think the thing as it goes on, I think it's going to lean more towards Zabit, and I feel like because Zabit just he has the cardio. You know, that guy can go five rounds. I have faith that guy can go five rounds, no problem. You know, secondly is that he has the chin too. You know, Zabit can take a lot of shots. We've seen that. I mean, he hasn't fought. But at the same time, I guess he really hasn't fought that effective of a striker yet. You know what I mean? We've seen him fight. I mean, I saw his fight. I think it was Brandon Davis. I think he fought a guy, Brandon Davis. Somebody he fought. And then he fought my boy from Boston. He fought Kyle Bochniak too. But Bochniak is much more – his striking was very sloppy in that fight. A lot of his shots weren't even landing on Zabit. So it looked like Zabit was taking shots and that he had a strong chin. But really, I don't know if his chin was really tested. I mean, versus a power puncher like Jeremy Stephens, I think his chin will be tested. You know, but at the same time, Stevens, you know, he's shown, you know, lately, not he's been fighting strikers more recently, but, you know, prior to that, you know, guys who have a ground game, Stevens, you know, I think Zabit, that would be Zabit's path to victory is on the ground. And I think Zabit, you know, I'll be taking Zabit in this fight, but I wouldn't be surprised if Stevens catches him with a shot in, like, you know, the third or fourth round. I mean, it's a three-round fight, so yeah, the third round.
Yeah, man, everything in me wants to take Stevens, but man, it's just something about when strikers fight wrestlers, man. It's just something that wrestlers don't let them get off the way they normally get off. And I think Zabit is going to take Jeremy down. And I think he's going to submit Jeremy, man. As much as I want to see Jeremy win this fight, and I do think he got a puncher's chance to win this fight, but you know what? I'm going to go against the grain. I'm going to take Stevens, man. Even though my heart is telling me Zabit, I'm going to take Stevens. I think Stevens clips him. Ground and pound, TKO. Going with Jeremy Stevens, even though everything in me is telling me Zabit is gonna win by submission, I'm gonna go against my heart. I'm gonna go against my brain and go with my heart on this one. And I'm gonna go with Jeremy Stevens, man. Jeremy Stevens wins by TKO.
I really wouldn't be mad if that came to fruition. You know, So what's the next fight?
All right, so then we move into the main card. We got Cody versus Pedro. 11-2 Cody, 17-3 Pedro.
Yeah, so, you know, Munoz being the more experienced fighter, you know, I think that definitely will play a factor. At the same time, you know, we've seen what he's been able to do with the more experienced fighter in the past. I mean, just looking at Cody's fight with Dominic Cruz, you know, I think I was the only one who was picking Cody going into that fight. And that actually was a much similar scenario to the main event tonight, where I was the only one picking the underdog, and then the underdog dominated the champion, and everybody was shocked. So I'm just saying. But anyways, so, you know, we've seen what Cody's been able to do with more experienced fighters in the past. He's finished more experienced fighters in the past, and he has no problem with it. He's a very confident guy. I think his fights with TJ, he was, you know, it didn't really represent who he really is, the fighter, because he was just fighting angry. I think a lot of it was just the whole, like, beef they had, you know, was a lot, got in his head a lot. And I think it messed with his performance. And I think I'm glad to see that he's making a turnaround and fighting different guys now, you know, and can calculate his way back to the top. I think he's gonna have a, you know, he's got a challenge on his hands with this guy, but I'm gonna predict a third round third round stoppage for Garbrandt. That's my prediction. I think in the early rounds, this Moonhost will test him a little bit, but I think Garbrandt will get comfortable in the first two rounds. Round three, he's going to come out like the savage, and he's going to get a third round stoppage. That's my prediction. What do you think?
I want to go with Pedro, but I'm going to take Cody. I think Cody, you know, there's just some guys you just ain't going to beat. You know, maybe TJ is that guy for him, that he'll never be able to beat TJ, just like Hannah Burrell could never beat TJ. So maybe that's his kryptonite is TJ. But I think against everybody else, he's been very impressive. I'm going to go with Cody. I think he wins by a split decision over Pedro Munhoz, who I think will be a game opponent. I think a lot of people will come out after this fight and be very impressed with Pedro Munhoz. I think he'll be a name that we'll keep our eye on moving up in the future. But in this fight, I'm gonna go with Cody, man. All right, man, we got about 5 minutes left, so we gotta speed up our predictions. So next we got Tisha Torres and Wiley Zhang. I think we both went with Torres
on
this one.
Yeah, we're both rolling with Torres, so that's that. But I really haven't. I've never even heard of this Zhang before. You know, I don't know anything about her at all. And Torres is my girl, so I'm not even. I'm just gonna be completely one sided here and just say Torres wins. I don't know how. How that goes, but Torres is going to win, and it's going to be excellent. That's my prediction.
But you know what, though, Keith? A lot of people on Twitter been picking Wiley Zhang to win, man. A lot of people that have been putting their predictions out there, they have actually been picking Wiley Zhang to beat Tisha Torres.
Yeah.
I really don't know anything about Miss Zhang, but I know Tisha Torres got a lot at stake with this fight. Then if she wins, she gets a title shot. So I think the motivation alone would probably see her through. So I'm going with Tisha Torres. Next up, we got Robbie Lawler versus Ben Askren. We got 18-0 Askren going against 28-12 Robbie Lawler. Who you got?
Yeah, so this one, you know, like I was saying earlier, Robbie's a very dangerous striker. You know, I don't think anybody's really safe to just stand in front of this guy, besides my boy T-Wood, who actually knocked out Robbie Lawler to win the welterweight championship. But that's neither here nor there. We'll save that for another show. Anyways, I don't think Ben Askren is safe to stand in front of Lawler. And, you know, if he does go in there and stand and bang, he's going to be in dangerous waters. And if he keeps up that game plan, I would see Lawler winning, but I don't think he's going to. I think if he did try to strike, he's going to get hurt. And then he's probably going to land a takedown shortly after, land a takedown and he's going to be landing strikes on Lawler all day on the ground and probably either get a TKO finish or unanimous decision victory. So I'll be picking Ben Askren.
Well, I'm going against the grain on this one because I really don't like Ben Askren. That's just me personally. I think he's trying too hard to be a guy in the UFC. I think, you know, just his tweets alone aggravate me. I think, you know, the best way to ingratiate yourself with UFC fans is to fight your way into our good graces. And I think Robbie Lawler wins, man. I don't know how Robbie's going to win it. You know, ring rust is a thing. I do believe in that, but I think Robbie has been in enough fights where, you know, he's going to be okay. I'm going with Robbie Lawler by a second round KO, man. Even though if I had to bet the farm on it, I probably wouldn't. But I'm going with Robbie Lawler, second round KO. All right.
And then
we got the
co-main
event.
Right, the next one.
Go ahead. Yeah, we got the co-main event. Yo, boy, Tyron Woodley against Kamaru Usman. I already know who you got, but go ahead. Make it official.
All right. Basically, everybody, you know, I've been waiting for this. The best welterweight in the world and the best welterweight champion of all time is returning to the octagon to absolutely dominate Kamaru Usman. Okay, Marty from Nebraska will be decimated in every area of the game. There's not one single path to victory for Usman tonight. I hate to say it. You know, speaking of, you know, I have these new column on at the Scrap News where you can see me writing keys to victory column, which is specified for underdogs. But, you know, Usman being the underdog tonight, I can't even think of a path to victory for Usman because I can't think of one area of MMA that he could do better than my boy T-Wood. So, you know, in the striking department, he's going to get knocked out. In the wrestling department, he's going to get out-wrestled. And he's going to get out-wrestled and tapped and put into it. You know, he's going to end up like Darren Till. And otherwise, grappling, he's out-grappled. He's beaten every area of the game, so there's no way for him. And Woodley's going to destroy him, and that's just going to be that. So I don't know how – I hope Woodley knocks him out. That's probably be the – that's yeah, I'm probably going to go with Woodley by knockout.
I'm going with Woodley. I think it'll be a unanimous decision. I think he dominates Kamaru Usman. I think Usman will realize that he's going to have to work on other parts of his game to be a competent contender or champion in the future. I think his wrestling style isn't going to scare T-Wood. I think T-Wood will actually welcome him wrestling him. So I think Usman will put up a valiant effort, but I think there's nothing he can do to pull this fight out unless he gets lucky and clips T-Wood or something like that. But I don't see that happening because T-Wood normally, just my personal opinion, normally his title fights are kind of boring because he's more of a counterpuncher. You know, he lets the action come to him. He really doesn't go in forcing the action, and that works for him. But sometimes it's like watching a Mayweather fight where you wishing for more action. I mean, he did finish Till, okay. That was a good finish. But once again, Till was the one pushing the action, and Till actually got caught pushing the action. That's how he got knocked out. But I think T will finish it off. I still don't think he's the most dominant welterweight champion or middleweight champion or whatever he is in history because basically he ain't even halfway. This will be his sixth title defense, so he's almost in the same sentence as George St. Pierre, who had 11 title fights or 11 title defenses. So pump your brakes on that.
Yeah, but who he really fought, though? GSP fought when guys only did one thing.
He fought the next guy up, though.
He didn't. I'm saying GSP ain't fight guys like the competition that Willie's fighting today.
Okay, so now we are going. So now we are going with eras now. So we're saying this era is better than that era. So that makes him a better fighter than this guy because the skill set of the fighters. I mean. That's just like saying that Michael Jordan could compete against Wilt Chamberlain and Bill Russell back then. We don't know that. So
yeah, but
you have to go
yeah,
with
but, yeah, but everybody makes that argument anyways, though. Everybody says that LeBron couldn't have played against Jordan or what have you. You know, that those debates happen every day.
Yeah, I think Woodley is in the conversation. I think, you know, I think he'll probably – I think he says one of his goals is to be Fighter of the Year this year, so he wants to fight four times this year. So we'll see what happens.
That'll be awesome.
Yeah, he did. It was actually in one of his interviews that he wants to be Fighter of the Year. So I think for him to do that, he'll have to fight at least four times. And this is already, March? So I don't see him fighting four times. I probably see him fight more like three times. So... you know, but I have Woodley winning. Now to the main event, and Keys is already on record saying that he's picking Anthony Smith to win. And
I have a whole article explaining this, so if y'all want to see my prediction,
I just need to know.
Scrap News and find my article.
I just
keep the victory.
You know what, man? I read your article, and, bruh, I just don't understand how you came to this conclusion, man. I just don't see how you – I mean, I think it's more the underdog thing with you than it is anything else, because I know you can't sit here and convince me that Anthony Smith has better skills than John Jones. You can't convince me of that. You can't convince me that just because he has more fights under his belt that makes him better than John Jones.
Nope.
I can't go with that. Anthony Smith last
three
fights.
I didn't make either one of those arguments in my article, though.
I know.
I'm not saying Smith has better skills than Jones. I'm not even saying he's a better mixed martial artist than Jones. He's likely not, but I'm saying that he just brings to the table different elements that John Jones' previous opponents have not brought, especially the fight mentality. I think that's a big thing.
Okay, what elements does he bring to the table that John Jones' previous opponents haven't?
Well, just looking at his last two fights, DC and Gustafson were just – I think them guys were mentally defeated before the fight even happened. And a big point that Smith actually just made, I think yesterday or the day before – you know, that the media day was that those guys, you know, they focus too much on what the bad things John Jones does instead of looking at the good things, the things that he does right and the things that he does in the cage. Never mind all the allegations and the, you know, the PED talk and all this other garbage guys want to focus on calling him a cheater, but not focusing on his actual skill sets in the octagon. They just tried to attack who he was, you know, attack his character and the person he is instead of trying to analyze the great fighter he is. And I think that's a huge difference with Smith, is that he's not focused on all the outside bullshit. He's focused on what goes on in the cage.
Okay. All right. So basically you go on with Smith. So how does Smith finish him? Does he knock him out? Is it a decision? Is it a submission? How does he pull the rabbit out the hat?
You know, I said, you know, I'm saying TKO, but you know, who knows? I don't know. I said TKO, but you know, I don't know what round or
okay.
Anything like this. He's better off early on. I would think you got to do it early on, because as it gets later in the fight, Jones starts transforming and shit. So he starts going Super Saiyan and shit in the fourth and fifth round. So you can't wait that long.
All right, and
like Goku.
Prediction is John Jones win by unanimous decision. I think John will wrestle Smith. I think he will negate Smith's stand-up game by wrestling him. I think John probably lands a leg kick late in the fourth or fifth round. Probably hurts Smith, but he probably decides to fight a smart fight and just wrestle him. Dominate him on the ground, and I think John wins a convincing unanimous decision. I think Smith goes back to the drawing board and probably fights the winner of the Uzdemir Dominique Reyes fight, hoping to get another title shot. But I think John Jones is definitely the more complete fighter. I think he has a better skill set. And I think he beats Anthony Smith tonight.
And there you have it. So you basically can't argue what I said, though. That his most recent opponents have focused on him as a person and attacking his character, saying he is a bad role model and focused on what he does outside the cage and him being a cheater, instead of focusing on everything he does right, which is what he does in the cage and all his skills and what where he's dangerous. So you can't really argue that. Is that what we're getting at?
I mean
that's something Smith is doing right.
I mean, that sounds good on Smith's behalf. I mean, that sounds good. You know, it's definitely a different strategy than I ever heard before. Normally guys focus on a weakness of an opponent instead of focusing on what somebody does good in a fight. So we'll see what happens, man. Hopefully everybody make it to the octagon tonight. We get the quality fights that we are hoping for. And, you know, I just think John will find a way to win like he always does. I think Willie finds a way to win like he always does. You know, I think that's why these guys are champs, because they find a way to win.
Damn right. So, you know, we'll just have to see what happens. You know, everybody definitely, you know, hit us up on Twitter and send your fight picks or anything like that. You know, tag Lee and Keys Real Talk with your fight picks, you know, if you do happen to do so. And let us know, you know, voice your opinion about what you think about the fight tonight. And, you know, and with that being said, everybody, you know, I hope everybody enjoys the event. You know, stay positive, enjoy the fight. And, you know, the prelims are on regular ESPN, so you can watch the prelims too. So that's dope. You can get to a bar and watch, you know, pretty much most, you know, 90% of the event, you know, minus the early fight pass. You know, you can watch the whole thing through. So everybody, I hope you enjoy the event. And yeah, just let us know. Lee, go ahead and, you know, whatever, you close out the show.
Yeah, man. Everybody have a good night tonight. If you're going out and you're going to indulge, don't drink and drive. Take a Uber. Look out for yourself. Take care of each other. To probably Tuesday night, Lee and Keys out. We're about to put out fight picks on Twitter right now to make it official. And in closing, Lee and Keys out. Peace.